As I mentioned previously, the legislators in our general area are certainly to be commended for carrying this Build Illinois project through the legislature. I happened to be over there the day that it was finally voted and was so elated over how it all came out. And the bonds for the campus were secured, and it was one of the few projects in Build Illinois that had anything to do with the community college. And while I'm on that topic, I must say that the Board of Trustees of the college here at that time, and I'm going to cite one particular individual that had an awful lot to do with the successful passage of that piece of legislation over in Springfield. One of our trustees, Dr. Hal Grundman from Clinton, had very active political connections in Springfield and was over in Springfield, spent an awful lot of time lobbying over there for this particular piece of legislation. And Mr. Sam Vincent, the House member from his district, was a floor leader for the Republican Party and the governor. And I can safely say to you that he was a big influence in keeping that project within the Build Illinois scope. Now, one of the great advantages,
Betty, I'm was afraid the fact that it didn't happen that way.
The new campus,
I was actually born and raised in Springfield,
the new
Illinois,
campus would be built,
grew
all
up within the shadow of the Capitol building in Springfield,
a few blocks from the Capitol.
Came from
most generally,
wonderful parents.
Community colleges were built.
My mother
three
had a very
stages.
Interesting name.
You get one phase,
her name
two phase,
three phases spread
Ida,
out over a number of
Arizona,
years.
Arizona,
but Build Illinois
Sharp was her maiden name.
Put the whole campus
my father,
for Richmond Community College.
And my father's
one
name
project.
Was Lorenza.
So we will
Dow,
be building
Brown,
a 150,000
My father
square
was
foot,
named after a very prominent Methodist missionary.
Campus.
Which
that
came
all
to America,
classrooms, laboratories,
with lecture
rooms,
Wesley movement,
and the whole
time.
We did not have to wait
for the Methodist Church
about 5 or 6 years to get all the three stages of it done.
That was the real advantage
Dow,
of being in the Build Illinois.
Served as a
although I must say
evangelist to the pioneers,
tape,
and to the Indians,
that was a calculated risk on the part of the Board of Trustees
named him
to wrap their
very interesting and provocative
missionary to the
Build
United
Illinois
States.
Was such
so
a controversial political issue
and during
the
1985 and graduated from Springfield High
School
here
in 1941.
It was a calculated risk. But
right
it happened
to
it happened to
during
turn
World
out
War
very
II,
fine
got
Richland Community College.
Got out of high school.
It's going to be a great
went to Illinois Wesleyan University to start with, and at that point in my life, Methodism had been so involved in my life.
During all of this time,
I was considering the Methodist ministry.
Planning.
And
then
the
architectural
was,
firm was
went into the Army,
the,
plans
was drafted.
But volunteered before the draft ever got
as I mentioned
and,
before, we'll cover 150,000 square feet of classrooms,
division,
laboratories,
Europe,
parking,
European
and so
theater
forth.
Floor.
We'll parking for
and
that
was in Europe a little
at,
over
at
a year.
At this campus, that shows you
and,
the need of being
came
a
out of that
college.
Unwounded and unscathed.
The other
and,
unique
very
thing about it
is that
fact.
It's a prairie style of architecture.
Oh, well, but,
it's a very low profile kind of building.
Well,
it'll have,
as I mentioned, was in the
102 wings
infantry
of it
division.
It was called the Timberwolf
shade.
Division.
And
I think that's
our
significant
to our
commander had
rural
served
kind
in
of North
Illinois
Africa,
setting
right?
The North Africa campaign.
It
and his
be,
name was General Terry Allen.
Had the latest
and it was a very exciting division.
Computer technology,
we were in
electronic
the battle of,
technology, all
France.
The latest things.
We learned also in the Battle
of Holland,
other community colleges,
in the Battle
that
of Belgium, Luxembourg,
and
eventually
we
wound
up
going
through
some of
the Siegfried Line into
but
Germany
let me give you
and
an example.
Met the Russians on
our
Elbe River.
Our college will have a tremendous
was,
high R rate for energy saving.
Can you tell us anything about
the building is constructed
meeting?
In
well,
a way that
it's a very interesting
it actually
it very
will
interesting
be
thing.
Less of a
as you know,
burner
in terms of heat
and air conditioning
and
lights and
so forth.
Pretty well
decided
what the
temporary
boundaries were going to be
for and
we
the
had 57,000 square feet.
Pretty well decided what the boundaries were going
to
be
in
when the war was over between the Russians
in the new
and the
campus.
United States.
And our new campus will have a higher R rating and save more energy than we do in this building.
Waiting for the Russians to take Berlin.
By about 50%.
And
the way the war was
Surrendering to us and, to try to escape the Russian troops.
So I'm very pleased
it would have been very easy.
The design of the new campus.
Well, I want to clarify
the groundbreaking
that.
was
a chance
on July 16th
for us to have really gotten
1986
Berlin and
at 12 noon on the site where the college will be built. Governor Thompson will be flying in on
turn the first
my memory,
state of
historical
dirt.
Memory serves me
and
correctly,
we are
either at the community,
either at the Yalta Conference,
all the communities
between President Roosevelt
to attend
and Stalin,
that groundbreaking,
to
all the state
determine where those
here
boundaries were going to be.
Community College Board of Illinois,
to the Board of Higher Education, to our local legislators, to the mayors of all the villages where the college served,
to the United
and
States,
to their
war,
city
council was still going on.
I happen to be lucky enough to
has gotten a written
return to the United States on the advance party for our division to San Luis Obispo, California, to
college trustees
prepare
to
camp
at
San Luis Obispo for the return of our division, who were going to be trained in amphibious warfare there for the invasion of Japan.
I happen to know that
we know that you
had
any
that was a very
decisions to make. Budget, for example.
Yes. Yes. Right. Right. Right.
Students would return,
and we
course
we've talked
so
about
much ambition, so many pent up
which
plans,
like to say
and such an exciting experience.
Yes, I would. I think this is a very important facet of this college. From the time the college opened,
did you have that?
Dr. Murray Deutsch.
Yes, I did. I
came to Richland
World War II,
back when they were located in the old
made an impression on me going in at the age of 19.
First president of the college.
I came
home. I was a very fine leader.
He
hired a very excellent teaching staff
because I had had
many of those people are still with
in
the college.
They
in the company
Richland,
that I was in, I was the only one
that
had had some
one thing that I'm
college
proud
experience.
Of that faculty.
So the company commander
that
asked me if I would mind taking
here,
some of the young men
and who transferred
company,
to other colleges
were still in the
and university
States,
senior institutions
as part of my basic training.
Consistent.
And asked me if I would be interested in teaching
the native students that
some
are enrolled in
how to read and write.
And that's
consistent
where they hire great
turned on with teaching
than the normal students.
And even though
schools,
I was not a trained teacher at that
and
point, I've been
without
in a liberal arts
question,
college
every semester,
and
our students
English and history
are transferring to other senior
thing.
Institutions.
And, but I found that I had a talent for teaching
other
people
community
and,
college students.
So when I came back from
other
World War II, it was,
and that has to
I had the brand of teaching put on me pretty
excellent
good.
Dedicated
and,
teaching
so I,
in our college.
My wife,
I'm very proud of the faculty here.
I was married during the war.
We have many PhDs who teach
was,
in this school.
Helen Bundy.
From mathematics to chemistry
Helen Bundy
to
Brown
physics
now, of course.
To,
and
she,
computer technology.
We just have a real
excuse me, in Wanico, Illinois, which is a small town
here.
Just south
and
of
my administrators.
So Helen and I
here,
were married during the war.
Three deans.
She went on
of,
and finished her college while I was in the service.
Mr.
And then when
Knopf,
I came back from the service,
who does an excellent job with all
Helen
the registration
in,
of the college students
and the
counseling
school
of
system,
college
I finished
students
up my last
and so forth.
2 years of college.
And our dean of instruction is Mr. Bob Rose.
Okay. And then
and Bob has been
I
the
graduated
almost
the
with day
only state
normal
university.
He started out
days,
with
my
as
bachelor of science degree
as
teaching.
An associate dean.
And I went to Blumenau.
Mr. Knopf came
was,
early with
Helen's parents and my parents.
And then we have
my parents
our
are still
business
living
dean,
in Springfield. Hers in
Wanico.
And we
Mr.
decided
Ross
we wanted
to be,
locate
a trained
somewhere
CPA
near our
as well as
so having
a law
degree. Blumenau was kind of an in-between.
So we've got three
place,
fine deans, and then
just on the
we
southwest
have
edge of Decatur here by 15 miles southwest
who
of
are in direct contact
so we went to
with
Blumenau
the
to,
faculty
on
a
couple of years
basis.
Of teaching and
well,
decided that, that we liked the community so well, and we stayed there 20 years. And I started as a teacher, coached in that community, coached basketball and baseball. And then while I was there, I saw the need to get a graduate degree, so I went to Colorado University at Greeley, Colorado, and finished my master's degree there, came back, and later was offered the principalship of the high school. And then following that, the superintendent moved on.
I was offered the superintendency of a small school district down there, the college foundation.
And I must say that
the foundation has been chaired by Mr. Bruce Campbell, who was in the real estate business here. Back during the late 40s, 1948, as a teacher, things for the school that I would like to see done. And so they'll be working on that. And during that time, we got a couple of very unique students down there. Situation that are kind of on the drawing boards and making historical people like
professional
this.
People, and
I want to preface
farmers,
these by saying that
it's a marvelous community,
my hopes and
my
prayers
and
would be
are,
that, they,
are,
that they come to fruition.
Children were born while we were there.
And let me tell you one.
The oldest of our children is a boy. His name is Bill Brown, and as a matter of fact, he's a farm manager with the Citizens Bank.
Can we have a little... And then our next,
can we have a hold on that?
Daughter, Becky,
right.
Is now married to where
as you may know or may not know,
and they're in the jewelry
our campus is located 9/10 of a mile.
And then our youngest daughter,
from the new
Sally, who incidentally has a beautiful singing voice, you've probably heard her in church.
Daniel Midland Company.
She had some of the singing parts in that recent
we are
cantata
requiem to Archer Daniel Midland Company.
Yes. Well, anyway, Sally,
about them furnishing
the
hot
water
for our
heating
and air
conditioning school.
And
all
Sally went on to
she started in Illinois. Came back to Wesleyan,
Archer Daniel Milliken Company.
Got her degree from Milliken, then went to Northwestern University.
And air conditioning, hot water.
And finished her degree in physical therapy.
Hot water system.
And,
for the college,
she has been a physical therapist at Memorial
for a 10-year period.
And during that time, although she has a baby now, if Archer Daniel Midland makes the change in the hospital and cannot...
Let me
tell you a little bit about my family.
They will replace all of the equipment in our building necessary.
And incidentally, my wife Helen,
to heat and air condition our building,
was a trained home economics teacher.
After
got 10 years, in reading and got her master's degree in reading
comes to fruition.
And
I will say at this point
that English in the Macon
school
is always
problematic.
After
all the pieces will come together.
Back up just a little bit. She taught in Bloomington.
But if they do,
while I was in college,
after 10 years,
then she taught in Decatur. She taught at Centennial here in Decatur for a while, and then taught in Macon for 20 years, and is now been retired for 3 years.
That's correct. That's correct. Yes.
Do you really? That's correct.
I guess you might say that putting the community.
Well,
in
first of all,
letters,
I guess I truly can say
community
that
college.
You can't take the teacher out of the teacher.
The best way to describe.
I enjoy
to work
teaching
with the local citizens.
In fact, when I got
work
my
with
master's degree,
in our area,
I was not interested.
We
in
have many courses
that
are taught here this summer. For
myself,
instance,
and the
during summer school of 1986,
but I decided that
we have many students
most,
from
most
that attend colleges
started
all over the
country.
The opportunity was there.
Somebody
to transfer back to their regular college.
Come and take
and
a
at
course
that point,
or two,
transfer it back to their college.
I just decided to give it a try and see if I would like it. And I've always, I guess, been kind of a people person and found administration very interesting and so decided to continue with it. And I was superintendent of schools at Blue Mound for 10 years. Then the opportunity came along to the county superintendent of schools in Macon County was a good friend of mine, Mr. Bill Woodward.
As a matter of fact,
Bill Woodward,
yes, I did,
died in office.
I got started
and
as a young person in high school.
I kind of think that might
my
be a job that I'd be interested
very,
in.
So I, musical person.
I'd never been
and,
very active in politics before, but I decided
voice
to,
lessons and insist
to make
that
the
I
contact
take voice
to see if I could get that appointment.
At the time
and
I was
just happened
doing that,
that
I was not all that enthusiastic
and
about it, to be honest with you.
And
but
the,
she insisted,
Republican Party,
there were a few things that I wanted to do in life,
to fulfill
like,
Mr. Woodland's term
on athletic teams and so forth in high school.
Ran
and she said, Howard, if you're
going
to
for office five times.
If you're going to do that, you're going to have to continue your vice level. So she held that over my head.
Only two of those four-year terms was I opposed for office.
I have been eternally grateful to her for that.
Very lucky there.
A loving mother who saw that music could be a real lifetime enjoyment. So I have sung practically all of my life.
During the time that I was county superintendent,
sang in my home church choir,
the laws jailed
at the Cumberland Methodist Church when I was a junior
state
choir and senior choirs,
and over 100,000 population.
Automatically became a region of their own.
I guess
when I was in the servants.
A regional
I sang with the our division band.
Diluted
I
the number by
sang
the population
on
base of the county. There used to be a county superintendent in every county in Illinois,
to entertain
102 counties.
Red Skelton,
and,
for instance, had a show at our camp once, and I sang with the band.
Reduced them down to
I sang a couple of numbers with the band.
And that's what they have right now.
Outing. And the Bob Hope Show came to one of our camps one time, and I sang with the band, sang a couple of numbers with the band. So I was pretty close to the entertaining business, and never really
my interest in Richland
struck
College
out in that area
goes back
to make a career of it.
When Richland
but
Community
singing
College
has been
was first being
a continual enjoyment of mine
back in the 70s.
And since that time,
I served on the first steering committee
have sung
of the college
a lot for summer
and to help establish a community college
in a lot of the churches
area.
Are off on vacation.
And,
I have done a lot of singing
that
for
was very
various
fascinating
churches
to me.
In town.
And as a matter
and,
of fact,
have also
the first time it was voted on
public occasions,
failed.
If I had by just a
dollar
votes.
For every time that I have
and,
sung
course,
the national
anthem, all of us
or God bless
America,
were very disappointed
at public events
with
I would be a millionaire.
We thought it would have been a marvelous
so much.
District
and
it was
much larger
of it.
In geographic scope than it is
been
now.
Real fun for me.
And so we were all disappointed in that. The steering committee decided to come back fairly rapidly after that first defeat. And vote on it again, ask the people to vote on it again. And at that time, chose the
communities
that
I'd like to
pass
go back
the issue,
Methodism, if I may,
the first time around.
I mentioned
and
in the earlier part of
even
this
the second
tape,
time,
that the
it
Methodist
failed
Church
a little, by a little.
Made a real impact on
and
my life.
Of course, at that time,
I went to
Western University
a while,
to start with.
And then eventually,
because of the influence
it became
of our
a community
Methodist
college by Decatur themselves.
Voting
but,
to form a
and then having my family so steeped in the Methodist
and then
part of the community college law
part of the community college law requires
and of course
that
we were
any district
in the
that was contiguous
church
with
there,
a community
and,
college district
Sunday school superintendent there
come into the district either voluntarily
class
or they can
the
petition
school.
To come in and the districts that are now in the college
great,
district here
children,
Richland Community College. Most of those districts chose to come in,
and then I was
by
licensed
virtue of
lay speaker
being contiguous with
the
district
Methodist Church,
and not going to a referendum
and,
to do it. Kind of an interesting story. When we decided to move to Decatur,
that's correct,
been
and they did not have to go to a vote
there.
Of their people to join.
One of my daughter's friends, my daughter Becky, our oldest daughter. Friends sang in the First United Methodist Church high school choir. And they had a
was choir.
I think it finally
and,
came around to the fact
so,
that people had decided that our community college idea was a good one and that it would serve the community and its needs very well.
He doesn't use it,
and,
he doesn't sing, but he
I guess
nice
looking
voice.
Back on that,
but
Betty,
my daughter did.
I thought so, about applying for the presidency
and,
the first time.
So this
that the college was voted
invited
in.
My daughter
and,
Becky,
to sing in the
I
choir.
Enjoyed what I was doing
at First
so much
United
at
the decided,
church.
No, maybe I better
so
not
that
do that.
So that drew us to
but,
that church.
The
and,
desire was
the
there
Sunday
to have done
and
that.
Daughter,
and I have no regrets about waiting this late to do it. But I must say that I had given it a lot of consideration but did not apply
the
first
time
or since the president was employed at Richland Community College.
You were going to go to church. It was going to be First United.
Maybe
Methodist.
We could review just a minute, too. This is a statewide...
so many fine acquaintances, even...
Well,
Betty Purnell goes to First
Union.
I don't think we had a, maybe formally
yes,
met
before.
If we had,
no,
in
passing.
Four-year.
I think you would agree
first
with
of all,
they are all now called
community
colleges.
with the exception of
very friendly and cordial
in Illinois, and that happens to be of
historical significance.
Openly,
Joliet is the only one. It's the first. That is the first community college in America, the one at Joliet. So they still carry the junior college, Joliet Junior College, but all of the rest of the community colleges in Illinois are known as community colleges.
They do. They give a 4-year degree.
No, they do not give a 4-year degree. It's a 2-year college.
Is a downtown church.
And the 2-year colleges
located,
are required by the community college law in Illinois to offer various kinds of programs.
And there was some
talk at one
time about maybe it was
in the area of transfer credit.
Maintain a big
building like a large percentage of our students
that
come to Richland transfer to other senior institutions for their last 2 years. And as a matter of fact,
keeping it up
the largest number
time
of students who graduate here at Richland Community College transfer to Milliken University. And then they go to all other colleges and universities in Illinois. We have a lot of them that go to Eastern, a lot of them that go to Illinois State at Normal, and to Sangamon State over in Springfield, and to the University of Illinois at Champaign-Urbana.
Maybe you could tell us the nature of your student body, where they come from and their needs and so on.
All right, I'd be happy to do that. As I mentioned to you before, there are certain requirements of the law on the kinds of programs that must be offered in a community college, and the transfer program is one of them. Other is a strong emphasis on vocational technical education, and a third one is a program for those that are disadvantaged educationally. And we run a tremendous program here on the General Educational Development Program, GED as it's commonly called, and this teaches all kinds of literary skills to people. And then another function of the college is a strong adult and continuing education kind of program. We offer all kinds of courses in our various communities around through the district. We have an extension center at Clinton, for instance, that we offer all kinds of courses there. We offer courses in Blue Mound and in Stonington and in Mohiqua and in Assumption and in Sarah Gorda and Iliopolis. And we offer courses in Mount Zion. We offer courses all over the area for adults and students.
Let's talk for a minute about the assets for the community. Let's say, not for someone who isn't attending, but what does Richland do for the average person in Decatur?
Well, first of all, the quality of life of our community, in my opinion, is raised considerably by having a community college. Community colleges give people an opportunity, both students and adults, a chance to further themselves in terms of their education. We have students who come, as a matter of fact, the average age of students attending a community college is about 26. And that is true here, our average age of our students. And they go into all kinds of fields, into electronics, into teaching. We have one of our students that's a lawyer now. We have one in med school. We have several CPAs that have gone here and been gone on to a senior institution to finish up their certified public accountancy. Lots of students in business that work in offices and factories and all kinds of occupational kinds of jobs. And as a matter of fact, I can foresee the time when many businesses in our community will require their workers to have an associate degree from a community college for qualifying for work in their factory or business.
So you really spread the good work not only to the students but to the businesses and the community and so on. Tell me, where do these students live?
All right, the bulk of our students, of course, with the largest population base in Decatur, most of our students come from Decatur. But a lot of our students come from our outlying districts as well, from Mount Zion, from Macon, from Mohiqua, from Assumption, from Blue Mound, from Stonington, from Iliopolis,
from Clinton up on the north end of our district around to Cerro Gordo and Mount Zion, Moroa, all of the schools in Macon County, all the high school districts here belong to the community college. And then those on the outside of periphery of our district, we have 14 school districts that send their students to Richland Community College.
So they have the advantages of living at home. It's not so expensive to attend college if you can stay at home.
If you can be a commuter and commute back and forth to go to a community college to get your first 2 years in, it's much less expensive to do it that way. And we have lots of students who drive here every day. In fact, our parking lot with this temporary facility that we have here will hold about 650 cars. And there are times when it's very difficult to find a parking place here at the our temporary facility in Park 101.
While we're talking about temporary facilities, let's talk about buildings. I think the business of where the college will be housed is quite interesting. Why don't you tell us how the building program progressed?
All right. I'll first of all give you a little background. Choosing a site for this Richland Community College was a very traumatic experience for this community. As I mentioned to you before, the previous failures of the vote to establish a college here. And then it seemed as though the community got into a dispute about where the college ought to be located. So even after the college was established, the first site chosen as a temporary site was the old Milliken Bank building. And the college spent several years in that old bank building downtown Decatur. And then as the college grew, and they outgrew that place pretty quickly, in the meantime, the First National Bank had bought that building and wanted to tear the building down and make a parking lot out of it. So it was necessary for the college to move into another temporary facility. Well, during that time, the Board of Trustees of the college had taken an option on a site west of Decatur called the Wilcox, in the Wilcox addition, which was a very nice site and would have been a nice site for the college. And that site was voted on by the public and failed. And failed by just, I think, maybe around 50 votes, something like that, 58 votes. Very small number. And so the establishment of the college was, as I mentioned, a long traumatic experience. And then the finding of a site that would be appropriate was a very long and tedious and frustrating thing for the Board of Trustees of the college. And then finally, the Board of Trustees bought a site for the college. They bought a site at the corner of Brush College Road and Ray's Bridge Road, and it's a 117-acre area, beautiful, beautiful spot for a college, just off the interstate. Mm-hmm. As you come off of the Route 48 exit off of the interstate, at the Orienta exit off of the interstate, it's just south of there, and will be a very nice spot for the college.
What are your plans for the campus there? Will you call it a campus? Will it be a campus?
It's a campus site, 117 acres there, and the building plans are completed now. And the architectural firm in Decatur who designed that is the Architectural and Engineering Corporation. Mr. Ernie Lohr is the chief architect for the project. And one of the very unique things about building this building that we're right in the progress of doing now here in June of 1986 was the fact that the governor of the state of Illinois, Governor James Thompson, promoted a program called Build Illinois. And this was a project by the governor to kind of stimulate the economy of Illinois. So our local representatives, and I want to give credit to those people that worked on this as a part of this historical tape, Senator James Rupp from our community here, Mr. Michael Tate, representative in the House, Mr. Sam Vinson, who is a representative from the Clinton area, and Senator Summer from up in part of our Northwest District, and Senator Maitland from Bloomington, who was some of his district was in our particular territory. And those gentlemen, and Mr. John Dunn, who was a House member here from Decatur, it's very instrumental. Mr. Dunn is a Democrat, and Mr. Vinson and Mr. Tate and Senator Rupp were Republicans. And they worked both sides of the House and the Senate in getting this issue of Build Illinois, which Richland Community College was a part of, and to get the state to participate to the tune of $15 million.
As I mentioned previously, the legislators in our general area are certainly to be commended for carrying this Build Illinois project through the legislature. I happened to be over there the day that it was finally voted and was so elated over how it all came out. And the bonds for the campus were secured, and it was one of the few projects in the Build Illinois that had anything to do with the community college. And while I'm on that topic, I must say that the Board of Trustees of the college here at that time, and I'm going to cite one particular individual that had an awful lot to do with the successful passage of that piece of legislation over in Springfield. One of our trustees, Dr. Hal Grunlin from Clinton, had very active political connections in Springfield, and was over in Springfield, spent an awful lot of time lobbying over there for this particular piece of legislation. And Mr. Sam Vinson, the House member from his district, was a floor leader for the Republican Party and the governor, and I can safely say to you that he was a big influence in keeping that project within the Build Illinois scope. Now, one of the great advantages of that was the fact that the new campus would be built all in one full swoop. Most generally, community colleges were built in three stages. You get one phase, two phase, three phases spread out over a number of years. But Build Illinois put the whole campus for Richland Community College in one project. So we will be building a 150,000 square foot first unit of our campus, which includes all of our classrooms, laboratories, lecture rooms, and the whole thing. We did not have to wait about 5 or 6 years to get all the three stages of it done. That was the real advantage of being in the Build Illinois. Although I must say to you on this tape that was a calculated risk on the part of the Board of Trustees to wrap their package up all in one piece, because Build Illinois was such a controversial political issue during the 1985-86 political year that it was a calculated risk. But it happened to turn out very fine for Richland Community College.
It's going to be a great day when you move in and get started. When do you think this will take place?
During all of this time of planning and pre-planning, the architectural firm was working on the plans of this building. As I mentioned before, will cover 150,000 square feet of classrooms, laboratories, parking, and so forth. We'll have enough parking for about 1,000 cars at this campus. That shows you the need of being a commuter college.
The other unique thing about it is that it's a prairie style of architecture. It's a very low profile kind of building. It'll have two wings of it. It's a crucible in shape, and I think that's significant to our rural kind of Illinois setting. It will be have the latest technology, computer technology, electronic technology, all the latest things. We learned an awful lot from the other community colleges that were built. And fortunately, we were able to profit by some of their mistakes. Let me give you an example. Our college will have a tremendous high R rating for energy saving. The building is constructed in a way that it actually will be less of an energy burner in terms of heat and air conditioning and lights and so forth than the present temporary facilities that we're in. We have about 57,000 square feet in this temporary facility in deference to 150,000 in the new campus, and our new campus will have a higher R rating and save more energy than we do in this building we're in right now by about 50%. Isn't that interesting?
That's great.
So that's one place that coming during the time it has. And so I'm very pleased about the design of the new campus. The groundbreaking will be held on July 16th, 1986 at 12 noon on the site where the college will be built. Governor Thompson will be flying in on that day to turn the first spade of dirt, and we are inviting the community, all the community citizens, to attend that groundbreaking. All the state dignitaries will be here, from the Community College Board of Illinois to the Board of Higher Education to our local legislators to the mayors of all the villages where the college serves and to their city councils. Every person that we can think of has gotten a written invitation, and those that don't get a written invitation are invited by the college trustees and myself to attend the groundbreaking on that day.
Well, that will really be an exciting day.
Yes, it will.
Now, in your duties as president of an organization like this, we know that you have many decisions to make. Budget, for example, must be a tremendously important part of your operation. And we, of course, we've talked about students, courses of study, buildings, and so on. Would you like to say something about your staff and faculty?
Yes, I would. I think this is a very important facet of this college. From the time the college opened, Dr. Murray Deutsch, who came to Richland back when they were located in the old Milliken Bank building, first president of the college, was a very fine leader. He hired a very excellent teaching staff. Many of those people are still with the college. They've liked Richland, they've liked our community, and they've stayed with us. And the one thing that I'm proud of with that faculty, that the students who graduate here and who transfer to other colleges and universities, senior institutions, consistently do better than the native students that are enrolled in those institutions, consistently make higher grade averages than the normal students admitted to those schools, and almost without question every semester, our students who are transferring to other senior institutions do better than other community college students who have transferred from other places in the state of Illinois. And that has to go back to some excellent dedicated teaching in our college. I'm very proud of the faculty here. We have many PhDs who teach in this school, from mathematics to chemistry to physics to computer technology. We just have a real excellent teaching faculty here. And my administrators here, I have three deans. I have a dean of student development, Mr. Wayne Knopf, who
who does an excellent job with all the registration of the college students and counseling of college students and so forth. And our dean of instruction is Mr. Bob Rose, and Bob has been with the college almost with from day one. He started out, I think, as an associate dean, and Mr. Knopf came on early with the college. And then we have our business dean, Mr. Mike Ross. Mr. Ross happens to be a trained CPA as well as having a law degree. So we've got three fine deans, and then we have department chairmen in the college who are in direct contact with the faculty on a day-to-day basis.
Well, you certainly should be congratulated on a very fine operation and a great asset to the community, and we'll all be looking forward to your new campus and wish you the very best of experiences as you move into this new phase of Richland Community College. It must be very satisfying to see your project grow and blossom as it has.
Yes, it is, Betty, and we have many other things on the drawing board for Richland. During the time that I've been here, as an example, we have established a Richland Community College Foundation, and the foundation is being chaired by Mr. Bruce Camel, who is in the real estate business here in Decatur. And the foundation has many project ideas of things for the school that they would like to see done, and so they'll be working on that. And we've got a couple of very unique situations that are kind of on the drawing boards, and making a historical tape like this, I'd want to preface these by saying that my hopes and prayers would be that they come to fruition. And let me tell you one, and I hope this will not be played for the public until after this maybe comes about. Can we have a little... promise of that? Can we have a hold on that? All right. As you may know or may not know, our campus is located 0.9 miles from the new coal generation plant, power plant that Archer Daniel Midland Company is building. We are currently talking to Archer Daniel Midland Company about them furnishing hot water for our heating and air conditioning. And if all things happen and fall in place, that should fall in place, Archer Daniel Midland Company will furnish the heat and air conditioning, hot water, it's all done through a hot water system, for the college for free for a 10-year period.
Oh, amazing.
And during that time, if at any time during that particular period of time, if Archer Daniel Midland needs to change and cannot furnish that for us, they will replace all of the equipment in our building necessary for us to continue to heat and air condition our building within a 10-year period. After 10 years, under the current agreement, if it comes to fruition, and I will say at this point that it's always problematical whether all the pieces will come together or not. But if they do, after 10 years, then they will furnish hot water to us at their cost.
Well, that's just an example of another way in which a community college like this works together with the community. It's really a very striking example of how the whole group can work together.
That's correct.
For the good of the community.
That's correct. I guess you might say that putting the community in capital letters, community college, is the best way to describe it. To work with the local citizenry, to work with the schools in our area. We have many courses that are taught here this summer, for instance. During summer school of 1986, we have many students from that attend colleges all over the country that are taking courses here to transfer back to their regular college. Come and take a course or two, transfer it back to their college.
Well, it all sounds very exciting, and and I know that you are a very busy person, but you can't spend all your time in your office, Mr. Brown. We know, for example, that you have a beautiful singing voice and that you have contributed a great deal by means of your singing to the community. When did you start? Did you ever think of singing as a career?
Well, as a matter of fact, yes, I did. I got started singing as a young person in high school. My mother was a very musical person and wanted me to take voice lessons and insisted that I take voice lessons when I was in high school. At the time I was doing that, I was not all that enthusiastic about it, to be honest with you. But she insisted, and there were a few things that I wanted to do in life, like playing athletic teams and so forth in high school. And she said, Howard, if you're gonna do that, you're gonna have to continue your voice lessons. So she held that over my head. And I have been eternally grateful to her for that. A loving mother who saw that music could be a real lifetime enjoyment. So I have sung practically all of my life. Sang in my home church choir in Springfield at the Kumler Methodist Church when I was a junior choir and senior choir. And then I always enjoyed entertaining, I guess, when I was in the service. I sang with the R Division Band. I sang on several occasions when Hollywood stars would come to our camp to entertain. Red Skelton, for instance, had a show at our camp once, and I sang with the band, sang a couple of numbers with the band during that outing. And the Bob Hope Show came to one of our camps one time, and I sang a couple of numbers with the band. So I was pretty close to the entertaining business and never really struck out in that area to make a career of it. But singing has been a continual enjoyment of mine. And since that time, I have sung a lot for summer when the choirs and a lot of the churches are off on vacation. I have done a lot of singing for various churches in town. And have also sung on lots of public occasions. If I had a dollar for every time that I have sung the national anthem or God Bless America at public events, I would be a millionaire. I have done that so much and have enjoyed every bit of it. And it's been real fun for me.
Well, certainly the people of Decatur have enjoyed it too. Now, I know that, happen to know that you are a member of the First United Methodist Church in Decatur. Maybe you could tell us something about your association with that church.
Well, I'd be happy to. I'd like to go back a little bit with Methodism, if I may. As I mentioned in the earlier part of this tape, that the Methodist Church had made a real impact on my life. The reason I went to Wesleyan University to start with was because of the influence of our Methodist Church in Springfield. But, and then having my family so steeped in the Methodist tradition, we lived in Blue Mound. Of course, we were active in the Blue Mound Methodist Church there and was a Sunday school superintendent there. Taught Sunday school classes in the Sunday school. I even, as an adult, taught first grade children as a Sunday school class one time there. And then I was a licensed lay speaker for the Methodist Church. And kind of an interesting story, when we decided to move to Decatur after I had been elected county superintendent of schools then, one of my daughter's friends, my daughter Becky, our oldest daughter, friends sang in the First United Methodist Church high school choir. And they had a marvelous choir there. And so my daughter, who is a singer, in fact, my whole
musical family. He's very musical. Both my daughters and my son has a nice voice. He doesn't use it and doesn't sing, but he does have a nice voice. But my daughters have it. Don't sing. And so this young girl by the name of Susie Brown invited my daughter, Becky, to sing in the choir at First United Methodist Church. So that drew us to that church. And the first Sunday we came and saw our daughter sing in the choir, they had some music. It's the most exceptional music choir I've ever heard. Then or since. Where we were going to go to church, it was going to be First United Methodist Church. And we have made so many fine friends there, and have so many fine acquaintances. Even Betty Turnell goes to First United Methodist Church, even though I don't think we had maybe formally met before. If we have, it's been in passing. And I think you would agree with me, it's a fine congregation, and for a big church, is very friendly and cordial, and invite people into the arms of the church openly as newcomers come on.
And a great building, a beautiful building, and the location was an issue at one time, I understand, whether they would remain in that downtown area. What do you think of the decision to stay there?
Well, of course, I think First United Methodist Church is a downtown church located in an ideal spot for a downtown denomination. And there was some talk at one time about maybe it was kind of foolish to maintain a big building like we have there, but it is a beautiful sanctuary. And in future years, we're going to pay the price in terms of keeping it up all the time and keeping it in good shape. But our old Gaston School was located right across the street on North Street there, church and North. And the church several years ago bought that, tore down old Gaston School and made a new parking lot for the church. There were some members of the congregation thought that to be a little bit foolish. But I think in years to come, the church will be very pleased that they made that move. I guess I have to brag on Decatur a little bit. During the years of 1985-86, there has been a real downturn in the economy for us. We've been a very highly industrial kind of town with Caterpillar and Firestone and Staley Company and Mueller Company and many other fine companies that were located here. Fort Warner, Pittsburgh Plate Glass, and Mount Zion. And with the downturn in the economy during years, we've suffered a lot here, and I think that our church and our community has opened their arms to try to help the community through this period. For instance, as you mentioned, our church has had one of the big food pantries in town to help people. We have also had the Good Samaritan Inn. It was started really by one of our associate pastors of our church who feed at least one warm meal a day to the people who are needed. And that's been a very rewarding experience for our congregation. And I guess I can't hardly speak about Decatur without talking a little bit about some of the organizations that I belong to. I don't know whether, Betty, that would be appropriate or not. Okay. Well, first of all, I've served on about every major board in this town. I've been president of Rotary Club, been in Rotary for well over 20 years now, and served as president of the Decatur Club. In fact, previously, I was a member of Rotary in Blue Mountain before we moved to Decatur. Been on the Salvation Army Board, the United Way Board, President of the United Way Board, on the Chamber of Commerce Board, President of that board. I had served as the President of the Mental Health Association in Decatur, member of the Ansar Shrine and the Masonic Lodge. I've served on the committee, a relatively new committee in our community that deals with the whole business of children born with handicap. It's called the Early Childhood Registry, and it's a registry that tries to counsel with and help young parents who are in the process of having a child to be sure that the proper nutrition takes place, and kind of following those children to be sure that if a child is born as a handicapped child, that we can line them up with the kind of community services that will be available for them. I guess my professional career and my career in the community has been a very rewarding one, very interesting for me, and met a lot of people, know a lot of people in our community, and have lots of friends, and I guess that's what makes for a good community. Thank you very much, Betty, and in fact, I want to extend a personal invitation to you to attend the groundbreaking of the college on July 16th. It's on a Wednesday, and it'll be at noon, and hope that you can be there for this great occasion.
Thank you very much.